And welcome in. It is the Project Game Day post-game show brought to you by Par Excel. Glenn Clark, and I got a special guest joining me. He's not quite as pretty as the NFL chick, Sarita Hubbard, but he's all right. He's all right. You know him from his outstanding basketball career at Dunbar, the University of Maryland, and professionally. He is a huge Ravens fan, regularly involved with us. And so we just said, what the hell? Why not just come in studio, hang out, and do this with us?
No, right?
He is my buddy, Rodney Elliott. It's good to see you, pal.
Glad to be seen, man.
That's it's good to have you in here. Nice to be talking about a Ravens win.
That is true.
Right?
That
like, they true. Didn't screw anything up today. The only thing that could have happened today could have been then, like, this was always going to be the case. They win, nobody really cares, right? Like, it's they did what they were supposed to do.
Right.
They did that. That's the important part. Right, the important part is they actually went out and did what they were supposed to do today. They didn't stub their toe. They didn't F anything up. This wasn't a case where, you know, look how hungry the Browns were. Look how hungry this team was to get a win, not finish winless for the season. And, you know, they could have been dangerous for those reasons. But they weren't. The Ravens handled their business today, and I think everybody's happy because of it.
Definitely happy. I mean, Baltimore Ravens fans should be happy about a win. Ravens, before today, entered into their three-game season. Three games.
Yep.
Win three games.
You're
and
good.
You're good. You're in the playoffs. As we all know, anything can happen in the playoffs. So I think they came out and hit them in the mouth early with a solid run game, warmed down a little bit. Wasn't able to get six in the end on the first drive, but – like I said, they did some good things with that run package today.
They did some good things. Joe Flacco finished the season high today. Still hasn't had a 300-yard game this season, which is super weird. But, I mean, as long as they keep winning games, who cares?
A lot of checkdowns, though. I mean, a lot of checkdowns and screens. And, you know, he used tight end today, which is great. But we haven't seen a Joe that we're accustomed to. Being able to use that big arm of his and get the ball downfield.
With part of the problem of that being obviously – look, I actually think that we're all on board that the offensive line has played over their heads.
Right.
Like, given what our expectations were for a depleted, banged-up unit that, you know, missed arguably – well, I mean, I think Ronnie Stanley is the second best, but two of the top three guys on that offensive line are missing for the entire season. I think based on that, we would say the offensive line has actually played better than we could have expected them to play. But I think this continues to be an issue of – what they have as far as pass catchers are concerned is just embarrassing. It's not of the standard that you need it to be in order to be a high-level offense in the National Football League. And while, again, you'd like to see them do more, Rod, I just don't know that there's a next level for this group. I think this is what you can get out of this group.
I love the whole adage of, you know, next man up. Everybody on every team says next man up when someone goes down or someone gets hurt, or when someone just flat out not performing.
Right.
And our best receiver right now is from the special teams.
Right.
You know,
right.
This guy goes out there, and his job is to run down the field. And
yeah,
just,
but even
you know,
he had a chance to make a big play in the first half and couldn't come down with the ball. That's Chris Moore that we're talking about.
I think a lot of those receivers nowadays are a little scared when they come across that paint like that. You know, them safeties and corners are really laying the load out there. So that was a catchable ball.
Yep.
We're going to need plays like that, definitely, if you want to even, you know, think about getting past the first round, whoever we play in the first round.
So let's have that be the crux of our conversation for the postgame show today, right? Because there's not a whole lot to talk about from this game in particular. We talked a lot at halftime about the decision to go for it on fourth and goal, which for some reason people had a problem with. I can't.
No, not at all.
I can't fathom having not a problem with fourth and goal from the 1 yard line. You better be able to go get it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's man against man right there. You know, Cleveland just played a better man to man goal line defense. It's helmet on helmet, and, you know, the linebackers came up and made a play. So kudos to them. But, you know, with that much time left in the game, you know, I was fine with the call. Play, I don't know about the play, but I was fine with it.
Well, yeah, and I still will not understand having your running back running.
Stretch him out like
why
that.
Why would it, you go get a yard?
Right.
Like, have him going and just go get a yard.
Right.
Dive over top of the, you know, like, do whatever you can to run him out. I don't understand that at all. But, again, the decision itself, I had no beef with. Some of the play calling decisions in general today were confusing, but, I mean, for God's sakes, they've been confusing all year. There's nothing surprising. The tackle eligible play to Ronnie Stanley made no real sense. The first and goal from the 5 and having an empty backfield made no sense. Like,
but it worked.
There's a lot of things, you know, that you look at, you're like, I don't understand this at all.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's just sort of where we're at right now with Marty Morningweg and this Ravens offense.
I think he's using what he has. I mean, he's, you know, he doesn't have that go-to receiver that other teams have. For example, like we played last week.
Yep.
You know,
that guy might be the best of all of them, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's absurd. He's by far, yeah, he flat out can get it done. I mean, his ability to separate and, you know, catch the ball and their rhythm that they have is like, they're like kind of connected a little bit, like out there playing catch in the backyard.
Right.
But hey, you know, back to us and our guys today. I think it's a solid team performance. Special teams was awesome today. I mean, I think they started five, six drives?
Yeah, inside. Yeah,
inside
absolutely.
The 20, but a couple of those were inside the five.
Which one of them led directly to a touchdown, exactly. Obviously, on the sack from Za'Darius Smith.
And that's the kind of play we're going to need going forward, you know, to the next two games coming up. It's going to be home, which is great. But, you know, I love the adage of the idea of people saying, like, the ball's in our court or, you know, we're in the driving seat or whatever. Got to take care of the basketball. I'm tripping. Take care of the football.
It's a different world for Rod.
I know,
it's
right?
It's a little different world, right? Which I like it. I like stepping out of the comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? If we're talking about, you know, say UMBC, you got to take care of the basketball.
Right.
But
right.
Today we're talking about taking care of the football. I understand what you're talking about. And let me go back to what I wanted. I want to frame our conversation in terms of, are they building towards being a team that can beat Pittsburgh or New England on the road in January? And that's I think all that really matters, right? Like, it looks more and more as though they're going to get in. If they don't get in at this point, it's because something disastrous happened between now and the end of the season, right? Like,
right.
You better get in with a couple of games at home against lesser teams. You better win those games and get in.
That's definitely the mentality that we're trying to go into. I know I want to get some free Dunkin' Donuts coffee on Christmas. I haven't had free coffee in a while. I'm gonna get some tomorrow.
Yeah, well, right. Enjoy it. Yeah,
for
absolutely.
Sure.
Enjoy
this
it.
Win, but I definitely want to have it next week and then the week following that. And everything is right there for us. I mean, we've been putting points on the board, which is great. Our defense has been a nuisance to opposing teams, and I think the teams in a caliber quarterback we're playing the next two games can give our defense another opportunity to go out there and exhibit how well they can be.
Okay,
taking
so,
the ball away.
So let's go back past that though.
Yep.
Seeing how they've played, Paul from Orlando checked and he said, when they come out with the Ravens 30-minute 2017 highlight film, you know they always do this on NFL Films, NFL Network, right? And they somehow make a team that went 2-14. Like, they'll do this season with the Browns. They'll, like, find a game. The last week is exactly what it'll be. The Browns game against the Packers where they almost won. They'll make it like they won the Super Bowl in this 30-minute, like, highlight film they put together. But they said, Paul from Orlando, when they come out with the Ravens 30-minute 2017 highlight film, it will be titled, Thank God for Backup and Rookie Quarterbacks. And this is the question that I'm going to pose, and this is what I want to talk about, because we see the Ravens defense a week ago against Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and then we see them this week against DeShone Kizer and the Browns. A week ago, they couldn't do a damn thing.
Right.
They were torched up and down the field. It was embarrassing. It was pathetic. This week, they look like a dominant unit. Is it as simple as saying when they play really good offenses, they're going to look more like they did a week ago? When they play bad offenses, they're going to look like this? Or do you believe that they can get to a point where they will be able to compete better against the Steelers should they see them again in a few weeks?
I think it's a little bit of the first, what you're saying. Like, when you're playing, it was a different number seven out there today.
Yeah, significantly different.
Yeah, big difference, number seven. That seven today was a younger, definitely talented kid. Nice arm, you know, strong in the pocket, but a decision
maker. Makes bad decisions,
you know what I mean? So, you know, that's a big difference than this week and last week, and definitely whoever we're going to play in that first round. But as you see, last week we were in that game. We were up 13, I think, 12-13 in the second half. You know, you're supposed to win ball games like that. You're supposed to move the chains, keep the clock
especially
rolling.
When you invested everything on the defensive side of the ball. When
you
built what you built on the defense, where this was supposed to be how you were going to win, you better be able to go win a game.
But then, as we all know, it was the playoffs, though. I mean, you know, those Ravens guys put their jerseys on and cleats on just like the other teams. So they have pride. You know, they have the team itself has playoff experience. So hopefully they can lean on leaders like a Joe and lean on leaders like Suggs in the playoffs when the time comes to do whatever they have to do that particular Sunday, that particular day to get that done. You know, and the playoffs is just thinking about one game. And we're in that one game situation.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
So
one game mentality.
So
we gotta
it smells
be
like you buy into the idea that they could.
Yeah, I do. I do. I definitely buy into the idea.
Rod, I have more fears, right? Like, I have more fears that this is a defense that stockpiles numbers against Like their schedule is just broken for them in a really unbelievably favorable way. You think about the number of quarterbacks they should have faced this year that they're not going to end up facing. And that's not even including the fact they got to face Deshaun Kizer twice, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was always supposed to be that way. They avoided Aaron Rodgers. They avoided Deshaun Watson. They are going to avoid Andrew Luck next week. They avoided whichever Dolphins quarterback would have faced in that game. Yep. You know, whether you want to say they avoided Jay Cutler, okay. They really avoided Ryan Tannehill, too, in that game. They've done nothing but avoid quarterbacks all season, and they also happen to have faced a boatload of rookies when you consider Trubisky in the two games against Deshaun Kizer. In those games, outside of the Chicago game, they've looked really good. They've looked very The other games they played this season, they've been pedestrian or what they were a week ago, pathetic.
Right.
And so either I've got to buy into the idea that, hey, they've just needed all season to build, to put together a great performance, right? Like, there was no reason for me to think a week ago, I guess you could say, hey, it was the first week without Jimmy Smith, right? Like, it was going to take some time to maybe them get used to not having Jimmy Smith out there. Perhaps there's an argument for that. But it smells way more like that was always going to come. And if they had faced some of these other quarterbacks this season, they probably would have struggled that way against those teams. And so it's hard for me to buy into that when we get to January, it's going to be anything different. Like, I expected them to perform really well today because, for God's sakes, you should perform really well against Deshaun Kizer and the Cleveland Browns. Although I'm a little bit surprised that the Browns don't try to force the ball to Josh Gordon a little bit more, right? Like, you know, he's
nothing
pretty,
to lose.
He's pretty talented. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, zero to lose.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by this at all. I guess I'm surprised by the fact that, you know, I'm surprised that anybody would think that it's going to be different when they face a better offense.
You have to play whoever's in front of you that week. We benefited definitely from playing against some lesser talented quarterbacks. But when you're talking about the playoffs, all that matters is that particular game. And I'm a big believer in, you know what, hey, I just got to play who I'm lined up against.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Understood.
But, yes, when we're playing against great talent like Ben Roethlisberger, Triple B's, they're a great, not even a trio.
Right.
I mean, they are – those teams like that, we get up to play for them. We were 13 points away from getting that victory, a couple plays away, a couple decisions away from, you know, having that win. But even still – now going forward, I think we can build on the fact that our defense is still taking the ball away. Our defense is still putting pressure on the QB. And that's all it takes. If we'd have got a turnover, a couple of those deflections last week or interceptions that hit Suggs, if we'd have came down with that one.
Sure.
You know, that could have been a difference maker right there. You know what I mean?
Sure.
If we'd have had the mentality of Joe not trying to be a hero or whatever.
By the way, hit another shot one today and Deshaun Kizer stepped in front of him.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, those somebody told me DBs and linebackers are nothing but like, you know, bad tight ends and
right, guys bad that wide can't receivers catch. Yeah,
that
right?
can't catch. Yeah. So, you know. Turnovers away from, you know, having a victory last week, but when it comes to playoff basketball again, playoff football.
We'll get there. It's all right.
Guys.
We'll give you leeway.
We know that we can run the football. We know we have one of the better defenses that when we do get some type of pressure or make the quarterback uncomfortable, our secondary is able to knock down plays. Our secondary is able to come up with turnovers. You know, Weddle played a great job today back there, not letting anything get behind him. Got the interception, obviously, but also forced the young quarterback into making some bad decisions. So, you know, you got to ride that emotion. Hopefully we can get two more games of defensive dominance, two more games of offensive line getting a little bit more cohesiveness, and the running backs kind of mixing it up a little bit. I love the way he used the tight end action today. I'm going to play action, a little dump offs across the middle, and Watson was able to, you know, get in there a couple times and get a couple yards after the catch. So, you know, and we're going to need some big plays too. We're going to need some big plays. I'm looking forward to those guys taking care of business in the next 2 weeks,
right,
and we have an opportunity to play on the road. So
he's Rodney Elliott. He's with us here for the Project Game Day postgame show. It's brought to you by Par Excel. Rob, one of the conversations that we were having some fun with in the second half, because, again, the game itself didn't provide for a whole lot of entertainment today. But that's okay. We wanted it to be there, right? Obviously, for the Ravens.
Get
we didn't want
healthy,
this one.
Nobody
no doubt.
Heard.
Yeah, I was a little bit like they were going to bench Alex Collins. That was a little bit of a weird situation at the end of the game where Melanie Collins, who was doing the sidelines, said, yeah, they're not going to put Alex Collins back in. He could. He's fine. He could come back in. And then, like, a play later, he was back in the game. Yeah. I was like, well, that was a little weird.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a strange situation. But, yeah, correct. Everything seems good coming out of this one. But one of the conversations we were having, I think 2 weeks ago, it was an easy assumption that Jimmy Smith was the MVP of this football team, right? Like the way he had played this season, the fact that teams were completely unwilling to throw in his direction. He had been dominant. He was the MVP of this football team. With Jimmy Smith presumably out of the equation, right? Like I think some people could still argue for Jimmy Smith that 12 games of what he did would be worthy of him being the team MVP, but presuming he's out of the equation, who would now be your Ravens MVP for the 2017 season?
Oh, my God. Who would be my Ravens MVP?
And oh, I got some responses. There was one that started to sort of be the favorite, but some of the responses that I got as it went along were kind of all over the place. There were about five or six legitimate conversation nominees.
You know what? I really can't say someone is really besides Jimmy Smith. We're talking about on the defensive end or just the team?
And the team in general, yeah.
Man. I mean, Collins, maybe you can throw
him in. I think that was the one that. You
can throw him maybe kind of in there a little bit. Eric Weddle, maybe.
Six interceptions, obviously, for Eric Weddle this season.
Right.
A couple people brought up Terrell Suggs, who obviously has put up the numbers, but as we've talked about on the postgame show, I think a lot of his numbers have come against lesser opponents.
Right.
And I would be inclined to not include Terrell Suggs on my list.
He may be one of those guys right now that's taking a little bit of that motivational leadership right now.
There's something to be said for that.
I'm pretty sure he makes sure all his guys are ready to go, ready to play, and locked in. But if I would say Collins because he came out of nowhere a little bit. He was able to be one of our backs that's consistently getting some positive yards for us. Knock on wood, he hasn't fumbled the ball. Lately, he's taking some big hits. As you see, he got a couple big hits today.
Yep.
And hopefully he's healthy. And
he had the one fumble last week, and John pulled him off the field.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, come on, man.
He did have that last week.
But that was the one, and they recovered. They didn't lose the ball on that fumble, so that was okay.
And when you're coming up against the Ravens, and you know that they don't have the firepower like they used to, the offensive line is not it's kind of pieced together a little bit this year, and you know you're – their number one or go-to guys is a young running back in Collins, and he still goes out there and gets his job done. I think that's something to say about a young talent like that.
Collins, I think, was the one that got – I would make some arguments for Ronnie Stanley, who I think has been great. Every time he's been healthy this season, he's been great. I think looking at how they performed against the run when Brandon Williams was out for a couple of games versus when he's played, you can make a significant argument for Brandon Williams. But the guy that nobody wanted to bring up, and we kind of alluded to it earlier – dog, you can absolutely make an argument for Sam Cook as the Ravens MVP this season.
Yeah, for sure.
He's been unbelievable at leaving teams pinned back. He's had one bad punt all season. That was a Tennessee game, and it actually ultimately really cost the Ravens because, remember, there was a penalty on that play.
Yep.
So he had boomed one downfield that had left them like back inside the 20-yard line. There was a penalty. He had to do it again, and he shanked the second one. That's the only bad punt he's had all year.
He should save some money on a nice trip.
Right.
For him and his family.
Right.
You know, they can get the hoolas out and they take a trip over.
I'd like to hope that they don't get that screwed up. He obviously got there last year. You'd like to hope that they'll figure it out this year and get it right again because he's been great.
Great, yeah.
All year long. And again today, so much a part of the story that you'll easily kind of forget about, right?
Yeah.
Because nobody really wants to pay attention to the punting part of the game.
Guys, right?
Yeah. Like, we enjoy Justin Tucker because he's got the swag, right? And he'll do silly things after he makes a kick. And so he's really popular. But all Sam Cook does is just go out, do his job, and then calmly walk back to the sidelines.
Yeah, when you go in tournament and look and see what punters have to do to be prepared and different type of situations they're put in as far as field positioning, does a great job, different style kicks and everything like that, be able to communicate and – he's got awesome gunners on the out that gets down there. And
changes
the ball,
based on who's back there to return
exactly.
it. They'll completely change their decision on what kind of kick he's going to use in that situation.
Yep. And position the ball, I watch sometimes he may leave it long or sometimes he may turn it up a little bit so he can get a different type of kick and everything. And that's a skill flat out amazing. And it helps out a struggling offense. Or that helps out, for example, if we go out and we maybe got a quick three and out or we should have converted a first down, didn't get it.
Right.
So that definitely does bring a little bit different type of emotion when you can pin the guys back and leave it in your hands of defense.
Or when you have a game that could have been, and I don't think this game was ever going to be terribly interesting, right? Like, I don't think the Browns were ever going to really, but consider the fact that without that touchdown, the defensive touchdown they got because that Sam Cook pinned them down at the 2-yard line, you know, this could have been a football game at some point in the second half. This could have been the Browns were a play away from getting back into it.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, they went in, what, 17-10? And the Browns just met a nice drive down the field and were in field goal range. Then got a penalty.
Right, backed knocked out, them out.
And then got right back in the field goal range. So, hey, going into the game, halftime, 17-10, I'm pretty sure the Browns still thought they had an opportunity to come out and make some plays and make this a little bit competitive.
No doubt. And that, all of a sudden, that really changed the course of this game is that combination of plays, the punt that left him out at the 2-yard. And Chris Moore did a great job twice today getting down on coverage and making the play in order to pin him down deep. But between the punt and then the sack from Zadarius.
He's playing with amazing energy right now.
You just wish he was a more reliable. You want to see it because I'm with you entirely. Every time he's on the field, you feel like good things are happening. But then he just has a couple of drops, and you're like, "No, oh, come on,
right,
man!"
Right.
Just one,
right.
And maybe we're just so desirous for anybody to be the guy because
we haven't had the guy.
There hasn't been one.
Yeah,
correct. So long. At all.
Right.
That you're just desirous of anybody, and so you're like, "Come on, Chris Moore."
Please.
You remember, like, there's probably a reason the dude lingered around in the draft for a while.
Like Watson, though. I mean, Watson. He came to play today. The play action was awesome today. He was able to get a little separation, and if we're able to stay within the tackle, the hash marks a little bit, and use that part of the field not only with the run, again, that'll open us up a little bit, and maybe get a little bit of separation foul down the field, guys. I mean, Wallace had a couple solid catches today, as well. So you know, when Joe's healthy and he has time back there, and the play action is working, I think he still can be able to hit some targets down the field. These next 2 weeks. They can continue to have a consistent run game, get a rhythm a little bit as far as the play action is concerned, keep the tight ends involved. Hopefully the line stays healthy and keep Joe standing upright. Going into the playoffs, I'm a little bit more hopeful that we can be in a situation where hopefully going into the second half of a playoff game or a possession away in a playoff game, we've had enough experience this week and upcoming 2 weeks to reference back to, like, oh, hey, it's a play away. Let's get a play away. Let's get another first down. All right? Defense, let's get a stop. We need a big stop here because that's what it is in the playoffs, is whoever is going to be ready to play that day.
Let me do this. I need 30 seconds to tell everybody about ParXL. When we come back in, and by the way, yes, for those that are asking, that really is Rodney Elliott. That's him right there. That's the guy. You know Rodney. Coach Noodles.
Yep,
he's the one. And he's hanging out with us talking some Ravens on the Project Game Day postgame show. So after these 30 seconds, I want to ask you about two things. One, I want to ask you about Rashad Perriman, who was active today, but they didn't really seem to do anything with him despite being active for only the second time in 5 weeks. And so I want to ask about that. And then the other thing, too, is there's a game getting underway right now that everybody's interested in the Steelers-Patriots. And I want to get your thoughts on that one. That's a big one this afternoon. So we'll come back in. We'll talk about those two things. If you want to chime in, feel free to do so right there in the comments. Rodney Elliott's hanging out with us today. Yeah, the former Terp, former Dunbar star. You know Rod. We're just hanging out talking the Ravens after they beat the Browns today. It's the Project Game Day postgame show.
The ParXL Early Phase Unit at Harbor Hospital is looking for help. Ages 18 to 85 to volunteer for a clinical research study. Length of participation and number of visits vary by study. If you qualify, you may receive compensation ranging from $1,200 to $8,500 upon completion. For more information, please visit our website or call 1-877-617-8839. Call now.
All right, so Rashad Perriman, Rodney Elliott, is an enigma, right? That I think a lot of people are willing to just completely cast aside. But the most likely scenario is that Rashad Perriman will probably be on the roster again next year. He'll at least have the opportunity to make the team out of training camp because he's a minimal cost type of player and because they did invest a first round pick in him at one point. And so they don't feel a need to kick him to the curb, and you're not going to save much money by kicking him to the curb, right? So the most likely scenario is that he's going to be given another opportunity next summer to come try to make the team again and be back on the roster. The Ravens have not had him active for the most part over the course of the last month or so. He doesn't do anything in special teams. But today, they had him active. And they had him active to do very little. I think they targeted him one time today. Now, as the game went on, they didn't throw the ball quite as much. Well, they actually threw the ball a boatload, but they were thrown underneath for the most part. I got a message from somebody right before the half that said, "Are you surprised they had Rashad Perriman active to not do anything with him?" And it's a reasonable question, right? Like, why did you feel the need to activate him if you weren't going to – if he hadn't been working on anything the last couple of weeks that you felt like he could help you, why would you just run him out there for the sake of running him out there? It appears as though they wanted to send a message to Tim Williams today, and that's why they deactivated Tim Williams, who's been kind of a nothing early-round pick last year, who hasn't done anything for the most part this season. And so I don't know if it was just a simple flip-flop where we've been trying to send a message to Perryman, now we'll send a message to Williams, and so that'll be how we do it. But – somewhat maybe surprising that you activated him and didn't do anything with him, but the argument that I made was, boy, how can you trust Rashad Perryman to have him on the field given everything he's done, given the fact that so many times you've thrown the ball his way, it's ended up in the hands of the other team.
Yeah.
So are you surprised? Do you think the Ravens could still try to get something from Rashad Perryman this season, or do they need to just sort of say, this is a loss, this is a sunk cost with Rashad Perryman, either deactivate him continuously or just don't have him out on the football field?
I have no clue what the brain trust behind the Ravens are doing as far as who they keep activated, who they keep on the sideline, who they rest. But he's definitely been a disappointment. We expected a whole bunch from him, a big-time player, number one guy. We expected to be someone that Joe could kind of rely on. He's been injured. So, but obviously when he's healthy, ready to play, they put him out there and don't really add him into the equation. I don't know what that was all about. Hopefully behind the scenes this week upcoming, they're getting some reps in. So if there's a possibility to use a big receiver like that down the field in upcoming games against these lesser talented teams.
It's the biggest thing that appears to be missing from the Ravens offensively is the big playability. And he's the guy whose skill set
fits that.
Hypothetically, again, what we think his skill set is supposed to be should most fit the ability to get down the field and have a chance to use Joe Flacco's big arm.
Don't get me wrong. We still need to continue to run the ball, though.
Agreed.
That could be a missing piece to stretching our offense a little bit, keeping the defense honest. Defenses rely on stacking a box, putting pressure on Joe, and daring them to throw the ball down the field.
Right.
So if we can have someone that can help us out in that 12 to 17 yard, beyond the line of scrimmage part of our game, that opens it up so much for us. The line, like you just mentioned it earlier, it's kind of a puzzle line this year. Guys have been injured, guys have been out, but hey, they've been doing best they can with what they have. You give Joe time, he still has a big arm, still has strength in that arm. He can get the ball down the field, especially when we're in, for example, second and short.
Right.
Especially when we're in situations like that where the defense doesn't always know, okay, it's got to be a pass, second and long, third and long. We're in situations where it's, second and short, we can take a shot down the field, then come back third and short and move the chain and get a first down. That's what we need to do.
It's just tough because you have so little faith in him. Joe Flacco, even if they put him out on the field, I think it's tough for Joe Flacco to say I'm confident throwing the ball his way.
I'm hoping they maybe are sending a sign to someone going into this week of practice, maybe wanting to keep guys say, we got opportunity out there for you. They can get some rhythm this week coming up. I know they play early this week, right? It's a Saturday.
Yeah, they're playing Saturday, yep.
Yeah, so they kind of got an earlier day. But, get some rhythm in practice, man, and, we still can use them. And like you said, it's not going to cost us anything to keep them around.
A couple things happened around the NFL today. Some teams clinched some various things. The Vikings clinched the NFC North. The Jaguars clinched a playoff spot, which is remarkable, right? Like, and looks more and more as though they're in line to get the 3 seed in the AFC. They still have to hold off the Chiefs in order to hold on to that, but looks more and more as though they could be the 3 seed. And that would potentially be, if the Ravens do end up getting the 6 seed, their first round playoff opponent would be a trip to Jacksonville.
See that? See how that possibly can pan out?
It's weird, right?
That's not bad.
Well, you think too about what happened when those teams got together in London this season, though.
That could be another motivating factor, right? Oh, there.
The circumstance is far different going to London than it would be going to Jacksonville. No.
All the London games were not
correct.
Good
correct.
At all.
No question about
not
that.
Not good at all.
The Eagles clinched a bye. The other game that obviously is going on right now, and it is just the Patriots just got a touchdown to go ahead 6-0. Rex Burkhead gets a score, is obviously the Steelers-Patriots game. If the Steelers win, they lock up the number one seed in the AFC. Mm-hmm. If the Patriots win, then they control their destiny in order to be the number one seed themselves. They just can't lose again in their last two games of the year. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this one? You just saw the Steelers a week ago look like monsters offensively, and the Patriots looked terrible on Monday night, obviously, against the Dolphins. But they were playing without Rob Gronkowski. What do you think about this one? What are you expecting as we wrap up?
I think Tom Brady doesn't lose twice in a row.
It doesn't happen much.
Doesn't happen much. He has his number one guy back in Gronkowski. You know, we put up, 38 points last week?
Yep.
Against Pittsburgh. So,
and obviously the big part of the story there being no Ryan Shazier.
Right. And they're coming off in a very emotional week before that, too, as right. well. So, I mean, kudos to the Steelers and the whole organization for rallying around an issue like that, and definitely wishing Shazier nothing but the best. Hopefully he gets back healthy. But Tom Brady is a different animal. I think he's kind of geared up for this moment as well. Three games out, final run to the playoffs, fine-tuning some things. But it is Pittsburgh. It is the number one other big dog in the AFC. He's going to send a message, I think.
So you think this could be a perhaps maybe lopsided win for the Patriots?
I'm not going to say lopsided win. I'm going to say they're probably going to win by maybe 7, maybe 10, like that. You know, between like a two possession game. A little bit, because with triple B's, I mean, you know, you can never.
Yeah, they're going to put up. Out. Yeah, right. They're going to. They're going to give theirs.
You give Big Ben 3 minutes against us, and end of the game, you give Big Ben 3 minutes against the Patriots. It's all the same. I like his chances.
I hear you. I hear you entirely. I picked the Steelers this week, but I don't feel good the way the game has started. Yeah, it's very early. I don't feel good about that.
Very early.
All right, what's going on with you, man? What can I plug for you? What are you up to?
Oh man, just nothing really, honestly. Everything's still the same with me.
Are you coaching?
I help out a little bit with Mount Zion Prep.
Yep.
My guys, actually, they just played in New York yesterday, got the victory. I think we're in the top 10 in the country right now as far as prep schools are concerned. Wow. Had a really big win earlier this year against Brewster Academy up there in Connecticut. So this is the last game before the guys go home and get a little recharge, enjoy the Christmas holidays. But again, you know, going into our sixth year, have an opportunity to help guys academically and athletically achieve one of their goals as far as getting a Division I scholarship. So we have over about maybe 35 kids that we've helped
get to the
next level.
That's awesome.
Some are graduating this year as well. So kudos to those guys. I'll kind of take my role step back a little bit from being with the team. But, you know, I talk to the coaches every day. You know, we discuss, all different types of strategies and different things as far as the kids are concerned. So,
and then what do you think about the Terps? What do you think about?
I wish they would have an opportunity to win one of these big games.
Yeah, right.
To kind of close the deal.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It's frustrating.
It's a little frustrating.
Now, you know, one of the arguments I made is that they're a young team.
Right.
You know, obviously they've been dealing with the injury to Fernando, but Fernando and Morcell are supposed to be big parts of this team, and that maybe unlike other Maryland teams in the past that have peaked early in the Mark Turgeon era, right? We've seen a lot of these Mark Turgeon teams that have played really good basketball in December and January, and then by March, it just doesn't seem like they've been able to hold it together. The makeup, the composition of this team makes me wonder if this might not be the team that can do the opposite thing, which is that they can get better.
Get better.
As the year goes along, just because you're talking about a nucleus of, three sophomores and two freshmen that are such a huge part. You throw in Tchaikovsky as well, but the nucleus of this team is so young, you wonder if they might not be a team that's more inclined to get better as the year goes along.
Possibly. I mean, actually losing the big fella does hurt them a little bit because his presence down low was awesome. I mean, he protected the paint. He rebounded the ball well. On offense, he was solid. He had solid hands and was catching and finishing.
No,
so he was very vocal, too, back there. I like his vocal presence. And it looked like he was out there having fun. So when he gets back, that'll help us out tremendously. I think Cal was one of the tougher guards in college basketball nowadays. He has that up and down speed. Ability to turn it on, turn it off is good. But, hey, they have to win those big games. I mean, they lost a tough one against St. Joe's by under 3 points.
Yeah, it's the Syracuse game, obviously, where they had a great chance at the end.
Had a great chance. You know, Huda was shooting the ball really, really, really well.
Yep.
But they just couldn't get it done. And that's what you're going to need in the Big Ten. You know, Michigan State sitting up there with a bunch of talent.
Yeah, they're really good, man.
Really, really good.
Really, really good. And we saw what happened against Purdue and Haas, who's just a really, really good big.
Yeah, really, really good big. You know, big men are kind of extinct in
right.
in basketball now, but That kid right there uses his body as well.
Oh, he just, that's what he wants to do.
Great position, yeah. And he's in awesome shape. So he definitely caused some problem for us.
No doubt about that. Hey, Rod, I really appreciate you coming and hanging out with us this week.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. I enjoyed it.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
Hope you and your family have a great holiday. Yeah. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning, 10 to noon, for Glenn Clark Radio, glennclarkradio.com. And then Reed will be back with me next Saturday
for
Project Game Day, Ravens-Colts. It's a weird Saturday, 4:30, I think, or 4 o'clock game. Yeah, 4:30 game. So we'll be with you after that one as well.
I don't know if I did well as Reed, though, but, you know. I enjoyed it. Always
It was a lot of fun having you in here. You got it. This is the problem. If you would have had the Steelers game, right, there would have been so much to talk about.
That would have been
good. You did get a dud of a game to do this.
So you
got to blame the Browns. We'll have you in here for a better game.
You know what? How about the first playoff game?
That's what I'm talking about,
After the victory, we can have a little trio action.
I like it. We can do that for sure. Yeah. Hey, bud, I appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
He's Rodney Elliott. I'm Glenn. This has been the Project Game Day postgame show brought to you by Par Excel. We will talk to you next week.